Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honour when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Proverbs chapter 4, 1-13. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I trust that today you will be encouraged. On this Friday Focus, we have a number of different items, and firstly, we begin with our children's story of the week, and it's based on the lost sheep, as told by the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 15. Stay with us as we focus on the love of the Shepherd Savior. Now, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, you have three lost things. You have the lost sheep, you have the lost coin, and the lost son. And these seem to be three separate stories, but they are each to correct one big problem, and that was the grumbling of the Pharisees. You see, the Lord Jesus went to the house of a Pharisee, and he got criticized because they said, This man eateth and drinketh with sinners. And they didn't like that. They thought that Jesus should have kept away from sinners. And so the Lord Jesus simply told these stories. And the first one we will look at today is sheep. I wonder, have you ever tried to count sheep while they are in the field grazing? Now, usually they are munching and moving and going around in circles. One thing a sheep cannot do, and that is go in a straight line for long. Usually it's heads down, it is looking at the grass, and where it sees the next clump of grass, it goes there, and then the next clump of grass, it goes there, and it just keeps moving around. And so, as in this story the Lord told, there were 100 sheep. And the Lord told that the which of you, having 100 sheep, and one goes missing, will not go and seek to find that sheep until you find it. And that's the big problem with sheep, is counting them, noticing that one is missing. And sometimes you have to count over and over and over until you get it right. And that's why, if you can't sleep at night, you're advised to try counting sheep. Now, this shepherd noticed one. What did he do? There were still 99. Well, the impact of the story that
everybody have 100 sheep and lose one would do exactly this. Nobody would say, oh, it doesn't matter, let it go. Any shepherd looking for that lost one. Now, this sheep being lost has a little story in itself, because sinners are lost. And those whom the Lord Jesus was eating with and visiting with, he recognized that they were lost. They needed God's mercy and they needed God's pity. And so this sheep that went astray obviously disobeyed. And that's what sin is. Sin is disobedience. It is to transgress against the law of God. And the moment you've got sin in your heart, sin in your life, you're lost. You're lost. And so everybody in this world is a lost soul. And a soul is very valuable. This shepherd didn't just say, forget about it. He went looking until he found it. He never stopped until he found the sheep, because that one sheep had great value. And you have a soul that is of tremendous value. Indeed, the Lord taught in other places that a soul is worth more than the world. Do you know that? Your soul is of more value than all the riches, all the gold, all the value of the world. That's why you need to be saved. And that's why the shepherd goes, because he really... And it's a great good news story that the Lord Jesus cares you're lost. And he will go searching and searching until he finds that soul. And that's what the Lord Jesus did when he came down from heaven. All of his life really was searching for the lost. All of his suffering on the cross and all the agony that he suffered on that tree was to save the lost, that you might not perish but have everlasting. And this is the good news story, that the Lord seeks and he calls, he cries out until he finds that lost sheep. Now, the shepherd kept looking until he found it, and when he found it, he rejoiced. Was he ever happy? Was he ever glad? Now, you would think that he would say to that little sheep, where were you all this time? With all the trouble that you've caused me to come and search for you and look for you. No, that's not the response of the shepherd at all. When he found the lost sheep, he took it up on his shoulders and brought it home rejoicing. There was gladness in his heart when he found that sheep. Now, the Lord taught us that every time a person is saved, repents from their sin, that there is great gladness in heaven. There is joy among the angels. There is joy in the heart of God the Father. There's joy in the heart of God the Son. And there's gladness in the heart of God the Holy Spirit. Nobody in heaven is grumpy when a lost soul is found and restored to the fold. Heaven rejoices. But the Pharisees were grumpy. The Pharisees were unhappy and they were miserable. But our Lord Jesus is full of pity, of mercy and love toward the lost. And if you repent, if you will give up your sin and turn to the Lord, he will gladly save your soul. There's rejoicing in the Lord in the salvation of each and every one whom he saves. And boys and girls, you need to know that that is the heart of the Lord Jesus. That's the heart of the Savior that we worship and serve. And if you are lost, you can be saved today. You can know the Lord today and be saved. And when you come, heaven will rejoice. There will be gladness in heaven because you've given your heart, you've given your life. What about it? Would you come and trust in the Lord to save your lost soul and make you a Christian? Well, I hope that you will indeed trust in the Lord.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed. Thy faults prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are.
On this Friday Focus, I want to tell you a little of my week. Canada Day was a low-key affair this year. We didn't have the usual events to celebrate our great country on its 153rd anniversary since Confederation. In 1867, the Fathers of Confederation had great hopes for this nation. Then the population was only about 3.5 million people. We now have more people living in BC in 2020. The founders were large thinkers in their vision to unite the provinces and territories together under one federal government in Ottawa. Ottawa was chosen because it straddled English-speaking Ontario and French-speaking Quebec. It had to be built from nothing and is now a city of 1 million people and the number one place to live, according to some measures that take in house prices, climate, services and jobs. No doubt many of those jobs are in government. In 1867, must have seemed a lot bigger than it does now, before air travel and before even the railroad was completed, which was a promise of Confederation. Then it took days and even weeks to cross this great country from Halifax to Vancouver. But still, the feds at the time of Confederation saw that this was to be a one united country from coast to coast. In those times, most people were Christian, Roman Catholic, especially in Quebec and French-speaking areas, English Anglicans, Scottish Presbyterians, and then Mennonites came to pioneer large parts of this nation with various other church groups. We have come a long way in diversity, and the Canadian attitude to encourage the new guy just off the boat is legendary. If you were willing to work and willing to move to find a job, opportunities abounded, no matter what your name or your nationality. The same is still true. We have a couple in our church last Sunday from Russia, and we were glad to have them come and hear the gospel. Of course, the Lord's church is an international church. If you love Christ and are washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are a child of God, no matter what your rank or role in Canada. We should all pay taxes at the same rate, and we should all honour the same flag. What we don't want to see is the Bible taken away and the moral values of God's law destroyed in this great nation. We need law and order. We need the Ten Commandments as the basis of our common law in Canada. We don't want to become a lawless society where every man does that which is right in his own eyes. In gospel work, the law of God is a handmaid to lead sinners to Christ. We are all found guilty with the 10 fingers of the 10 commandments pointing right at us. Who is not guilty of breaking the first commandment, which is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me"? Have we not in our pride risen up to make our God of ourselves? Who has not broken the second commandment, "Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image"? Have we not all caricatured the true God with our fanciful imaginations? Who has not taken the Lord's name in vain? We're all blasphemers, as we have all murmured against God and protested against his name and his glory. Our failure to keep God's commandments only tells us we need a Savior. The law of God is not 10 steps to heaven. No, man can never get to heaven by making a ladder out of the 10 commandments. The Lord Jesus is the only one who lived a perfectly sinless life. He died for us. He lived for us. And he died for us to save us from our guilt and condemnation due to the broken law. In his sacrifice on the cross, the judgment of God due to us fell on the Lord Jesus. He became a curse for us, that we would know no curse. He offered up his life so we would be delivered from our guilt because of the wages of sin that is death. What a wonderful thing it would be to have a nation that was truly Christian, where all trusted the Savior and all loved the Lord and all strive to keep his word. Let's pray for revival in our nation of Canada. Join with me in prayer for that. Father in heaven, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the blessings and the privileges of living in this nation of Canada. And we cry out to thee that thou wilt remember mercy. O God, do not come in judgment because wicked men have sought to tear down the things of truth and righteousness. But we pray that thou wilt have purposes of grace to turn men, women, young people to the knowledge of the Lord. Use your word. Come by thy Spirit. Send such great conviction of sin and the fear of God that sinners will flee to Christ, flee to the cross, seek the mercy of God that is found in the blood of Jesus. And I pray, O Lord, that you will work in power to turn this nation back to the Bible, back to blessing, and back to the blessedness that is in knowing and serving the Lord Jesus. Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Our news has been sadly filled with pulling down statues throughout cities. In this chapter, Isaiah 46, we're going to look at pulling down idols. This is a lot different from pulling down statues of landmarks of heroes within a nation. Just about every problem known to man is rooted in a lack of knowing God. It's really godlessness. As soon as man walks away from God, denying him and closing his ears to God's word, he immediately descends into a serious pit of trouble. Blindness always turns to idolatry, and that leads to rebellion and to chaos. Need we comment any further on the present-day anarchy in our lands? It is plainly godlessness. It turns to hate, and it turns from the gospel. It has ejected God, and it has rejected law and order. It's a reminder of the days of Noah, when violence filled the earth and there was mob rule. In Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 5, where we read of Noah and that violence that struck, then it says that man's imagination was only evil continually. Godlessness led to these terrible things. The book of Isaiah is really a revelation of God, and it called Israel back to God to trust in him. And of course, God is always calling us to know him. And in chapter 46, God reasons with his people to listen to his call to serve him only. These are purely the words of the Lord. If we had a red-letter Old Testament, we would have all these verses in red. It is God himself speaking. He reasons with his people to trust him only, not in dumb idols. And the first reason is that idols are a total failure. It says, Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden, they are a burden to the weary beast. Now this reference to Baal or Belus is really the same name as Baal, the chief god of the Babylonians. The Greeks and the Romans compared Baal with Jupiter. Nebo is a reference, well, was later called by the Romans Mercury, an idol god imagined from the planet Mercury. He is the scribe god, or Hermes. You remember how Paul was called Mercurius on the island of Cyprus because of his preaching and his gift of speech. Nebo was prefixed in many Chaldean names, such as Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, and these idols would stoop or fall down. They would literally be pulled down by their enemies, and they were. Then they were carried off as trophies of war. So don't put your trust in idols, because they will fail. They will never deliver. We're told here in Isaiah 46:2, they could not deliver, but they themselves are gone into captivity. But the contrast with the Lord in Jehovah, it says, I will carry and will deliver you. Now, while the idols fail, there is no failure in God. He cannot fail his own people. And then it goes on to talk about God's lifelong care of his people. And he says in verse 3 that we are carried from the womb even to your old age. I am he. And this is the good care of the Lord from the womb to the tomb. This is the goodness of God to all who will walk with him and trust in his constant care. There is no failure here. He is the Heavenly Father who sees us, who feeds us, and cares for us. Many are the ways that he carries us in our daily struggles and in our needs. He also protects, because he says, I will deliver you. That is the Lord's personal promise. And he says to us, hearken unto me. And again, later on in the chapter, he says, hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I will bring my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. These are times when we need to cease trusting in men or in idols and put our trust alone in the Lord. Did you know that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament? Yes, that's right. He is Jehovah Jesus. He is the Lord of glory in human form. And when we comprehend that this same Lord of glory came down to earth to be a Savior of men, what hope it brings, what comfort, what reassurance that we have a Savior in every need of life. We are needy, and the Lord came into the world to seek and save that which was lost. And if you recognize your need today, the Lord will save you. In these fearful times, times of upheaval among nations, times of pandemic due to this COVID-19 virus, these are times to trust in the Lord, to give your heart unto him. And I pray that you will. And so cease from self, cease from idols, and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you. If I can be of personal help, be sure to give me a call or send me an email. All the details of our announcements are coming up. May the Lord bless you richly through his word. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.